Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Many years ago, I was at the World Trade Center, standing in front of the Twin Towers. I kept bending my head back farther and farther until I realized if I kept doing that, I would fall over. I would need to step way, way back if I wanted to see the top floor of those towers. When I went to Disneyland for the first time, I was a little girl and way too excited and way too surprised to even get a few words out. There I stood, looking up at the tall, colorful, magical buildings. I probably said words just like the apostles. What large stones and what large buildings. You know, those large stones at Adventureland and Frontierland. And Sleeping Beauty's castle. It seemed gigantic and friendly and welcoming, and I could hardly wait to get inside. And when I did, I just looked up. The disciples of Jesus were like us, awestruck. This was the very first time they'd ever been in the grand city of Jerusalem with Jesus. This was the first time they experienced this massive temple. The enormous stones mystified them, and the surrounding complex included sprawling courtyards, grand porches and balconies, covered walkways and monumental stairs. The gospel describes these disciples as practically speechless. And they would have had to step way back just to see the top ledge of the great wall surrounding that temple. So Jesus shocks them when he declares that no stone of this massive temple would be left upon another. Why? When? They asked Jesus privately, how could this be? And I asked that same question on September 11th, 2001. How could the Trade Center be destroyed? No stone left upon another, all of it thrown down. How could that be? And I imagine that question was asked over and over again from the people of Thousand Oaks, Malibu, Chico, Paradise, Butte Canyon, from displaced persons throughout California. How could this be? How could these wildfires have caused so much devastation and death? As of last night, 1,300 are still missing. The football stadium of Paradise High School stands proudly, but all the players, coaches, and teachers have nowhere to live. How could this be? Do they not get to play another football game together? Back east, the early nor'easter snow has left death and destruction too. How could this be? So the disciples asked Jesus, how could this be? And so do we. It's too bad we cannot see that moment or hear their voices as they lean toward Jesus, hoping for some hope. Why did Jesus prophesy such a horrific event? Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. This is an unsettling, scary prophecy of Jesus. And Jesus knows that and carefully answers. His answer is meant to prepare these disciples for their future without him, knowing they have forgotten his predictions of his death. Before, during, and after this gospel, we are taught its meaning. We are in the midst of transformation, of birth pangs, as Jesus calls it, and Jesus will show us the path of life. So this passage is not meant for doom and gloom. This passage reveals spiritual tools. Are you ready to hear them? So Jesus begins with, "Look beyond appearances and trust God. Be vigilant and be calm." But first, let us understand some theological groundwork. We need to appreciate what else is going on to help us go on. Because this entire chapter in the Gospel of Mark is rooted in Jewish theology, in apocalyptic, eschatological, end-time theology. God controls history. God will rescue the world from evil. And at the time of God's own choosing, God will establish a new creation in which righteousness characterizes everyone. We are not there yet. We are in the midst of birth pangs. And it is unsettling, scary, to see it in our natural world, scary to feel it in our human communities. While thousands have physically and mentally suffered from these natural disasters, others suffer disillusionment. There is civil uneasiness throughout our country. And there are thousands around the world trying to flee their native countries for a new start in freedom. So, like the disciples, we are on the edge of our seats trying to hear Jesus. Like the disciples, we are desperate for guidance. And Jesus teaches us all. He reminds us that appearances and reality are not always the same. For instance, earlier in this chapter, Jesus had driven out the money changers, shoved them out of that beautiful temple, pushed away the animals being sold for sacrifice. And why did Jesus become so aggressive to make a point? The answer for Jesus was that the temple itself had become barren of true worship, noisy yet empty. For Jesus, true worship is worship in spirit and in truth. So we at St. Francis are called each Sunday to be available to God in spirit and in truth, in honesty and in humility, in faith and in hope. Jesus continued to teach a truth as they regrouped on the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley facing the temple. The disciples sat and listened, and so do we now? Help us, Jesus. Help us prepare for what you lived and taught, the coming of the kingdom of God. Help us, Jesus, especially in these moments when we hear tragic news and witness the power of natural disasters. It feels like what you prophesied, Jesus, is happening now, with wars and rumors of new wars and earthquakes and nations against nations. It feels like we can't keep going on like this. Help us, Jesus. And Jesus answers, "Be vigilant. Do not be deceived. Do not lose heart." But Jesus gets specific. He tells his disciples to screen their future leaders. Jesus says some will claim for themselves his identity and power. And that warning occurs again and again. Years ago, in the 1978 Jonestown Massacre, 909 individuals died from cyanide poisoning in a mass suicide in North Guyana, Africa. And those who died were a part of an American cult, the People's Temple, led by Jim Jones. Jones claimed to have specific knowledge from God, and they followed his every word into their death. There is nothing new under the sun, so it is written. Jesus speaks to us now and always. Do not be deceived. Be vigilant. Jesus continues with a second message. Remain calm in unsettling events. Jesus reminds them, reminds us, yes, there is evil in the world and it affects us all. Evil produces its own terror. Fear affects the rich and the poor. But remain calm. Remain calm because, as we heard in the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis, God created out of chaos. If you are experiencing chaos in your life, God is in your midst, creating and inviting something new. Remain calm and breathe into your fears. You are not alone. Even as you struggle in the midst of worry and tension, we at St. Francis are called to be a home for acceptance and peace, for warmth and care, for love and wisdom, for shared moments of worship. We at St. Francis have a shared purpose. We are called to be of one heart, to put on the mind of Jesus Christ, as we strive to love God, ourselves, others, and the world. We at St. Francis are becoming ever more a community that invites one another into a way of life, into a way for hope, so no one is lonely. We are meant to be brothers and sisters to one another in Jesus Christ. So we rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And many, mourn this day. From the natural disasters and violent moments that have dominated our news. And Jesus knows that and equips each of us to live in the eye of the hurricane, in the calm strength of his presence. Be vigilant, be calm, breathe into any fear. And in the words of today's Psalm 16, pray in God's power. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. Amen.